law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So in those verses give us the very heart of his argument. It explains to us why not being under the law does not produce people who sin more. Instead, it produces people who sin less and love more. You saw that in verse 4. You see Paul's answer? When you died to the law, you were not left spiritually unattached. You were set free. You were not set free just to simply wander aimlessly through life without any kind of authority, without any kind of direction. You're released from one relationship, your relationship to sin being in power over you, so that you could now serve another in being joined to Christ. And that's the illustration that Paul is using of marriage there. Christ himself becomes what we refer to many times. He becomes our bridegroom. And we become, as the church, the bride. Notice what Paul emphasizes about him. He is him who has been raised from the dead. This is not a dead religion. This isn't some list of commandments that you've got to keep. This is not some external code of conduct, if you will, that you struggle to keep in your own strength. This is a living relationship with a living Savior. The one to whom we are joined together with is alive. He is present with you, and he is sufficient for you. He is wonderful for you. He is everything you will ever need. Our relationship with him is more real than anything this world has to offer, because he lives within every single one of you who are here this morning or watching online as believers through his Spirit. And so what is the purpose then of that new relationship? Well, Paul tells us plainly, in order that we might bear fruit for God. There's the answer. Those who belong to Christ don't continue in sin because they've entered into a life-giving relationship with the risen Savior. And out of that relationship comes the fruit. That's where we've said all along that our works are not the root of our salvation. They are the fruit of our salvation. And that's what he's talking about here. Out of that relationship with Christ comes the fruit, comes new desires, comes new attitudes, comes new priorities, comes new choices, comes new actions. You think about it, just like fruit naturally grows from a healthy vine or a healthy branch, these things ought to be growing out of our union, our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if those things are not being produced, take the fruit of the Spirit. Go through the fruit of the Spirit. If those things are not being produced in your life, something's wrong in the root. And you got to get the problem fixed. And you can't fix the problem, only he can. And so those fruit are the natural evidence of a life that's connected to the Savior. So being set free from the law does not mean that you are now free from living a holy life. It doesn't mean freedom from love. It doesn't mean freedom from righteousness. It means freedom to belong to the one who is perfect love. It means freedom to belong to the one who produces his own character within us. Think about this. When you get married to somebody, did anybody force you to love your husband or force you to love your wife? I hope not. You're living in a difficult marriage if you are. When you get married, nobody forces you to love that person. You're not made to love them from the outside. Where does that love come from? It comes from inside. It comes from within the heart. You desire to love them from the inside out. And so the Christian life is not lived from the outside in, trying harder to keep the rules. It's lived from the inside out as Jesus Christ changes you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what Paul does go on to say in verse 6. Let's look at that verse. We're going to look at it more in detail next week. But he says, "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." Why did we die to the law? Why have we been released from the law? Why are we no longer under the law? Was it so we could sin more? Paul says, absolutely not. We died to the law so that we might produce fruit. Now notice carefully, death to the law does not produce sinners. What does it produce? As verse 6 tells us, it produces servants. But now our service is completely different. Once you serve sin, now you serve the Lord. It's no longer a service that's driven by fear. It's no longer a service that's driven by guilt or external obligation. I don't want to ever have you in our church feel guilty from the outside that you're not serving. If you feel guilty, it ought to come from the inside, from the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. That's the only place guilt ought to come from you recognizing your separation from God or you're not being faithful to the Lord in that relationship. But never let that come from the outside to the inside. Let it come from the inside out as the Holy Spirit does his work in your life. It's not by trying harder to keep the rules. So notice that carefully, death to the law does not produce sinners. It produces servants. It's no longer driven by those things. It flows from a heart that's been transformed by grace, that's been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's the difference between religion and the gospel. Because religion says, obey God so that you can be accepted, that he might accept you. The gospel says, God has already accepted you in Christ, and his Spirit now enables you to obey when you trust by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. In other words, one is life under the letter of the law. The other is life under the Spirit of the law. And only one of those bears fruit that brings glory to God. That's why Paul can confidently say that sin will not have dominion over you as a believer. You're no longer under the law, you're under grace. Grace not only pardons us, grace transforms us, it not only declares us righteous, grace progressively makes us more like the one to whom we belong. Maybe someone's listening here this morning or listening online who wonders, how can I become part of that great salvation? How can I know that justification and experience that transforming power? Well, the answer has already been woven throughout everything Paul has been saying. What is he saying? Come to Christ by faith. Trust him alone as your righteousness, because you have none of your own. In fact, the Bible tells us all of your righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. Trust him alone as the one who bore the punishment for your sins. Trust him alone as the living Savior who through his Holy Spirit has the power to transform your life, and receive him as the greatest treasure of your heart. Surrender yourself completely to him. That's the gospel. That's the freedom found in Christ. And that's what it means to be set free till death set us free. So as we close this morning, let me ask you a simple question. Who do you belong to? And have you been set free? Paul tells us that every person is connected to one of two relationships. Either you're still trying to earn God's favor through your own efforts, or you're in a relationship by faith to Jesus Christ. The law, understand, the Old Testament and all the laws throughout the Word of God can expose your sin, but those laws cannot save your soul. Only Jesus Christ can forgive your sins. Only Jesus Christ can give you a new heart. Only Jesus can make you right with God. If you've never trusted Christ, today can be the day that your old life becomes a new life that begins. Turn from trusting in yourself and place your faith in the one who's lived for you, who's died for you, who rose again for you, and he will forgive you. If you're here this morning, though, and you're already a believer, maybe God has shown you that you've been living as though you're still under the burden of the law. Paul's going to make that argument a little while later also. Why do you want to go back to that? Why do you want to go back to living under the law? You've been freed by grace. It's a greater life here under grace. You're no longer under that burden. So I want to encourage you to come today. Renew your surrender to Christ. Thank him that you no longer belong to condemnation. You belong to Jesus. And let him bear that fruit through your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever God is saying to your heart this morning, don't ignore his voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for setting us free through the death and resurrection of your Son. And help us, Lord, to live each day in the freedom of your grace. Help us, Lord, to bear the fruit that brings glory to you, the fruit that we cannot produce in and of ourselves. It needs the root in Christ to produce the fruit. For those, Lord, who don't yet know Christ, I pray, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. As we sing, would you come in simple faith and obedience to whatever Christ calls you to do as we stand, as we sing. Just want to say a word. We will have worship service in here tonight at our regular time, and then Wednesday night also. And we, for those who are part of our choir, we will be having choir practice this Wednesday. So just one second.
Your sermon wasn't in the thing or on your hard drive, so I was trying to figure stuff out. And then you look weird because if Ben gets in here, it was right here. So, the announcements that we have, just some people to keep in prayer. Kay Fox, she has her surgery on Thursday. That's the 13th. And then Brother Jim's step-grandmother, Biddy Mae Norman, she had a heart attack. I think he mentioned it Wednesday. They've moved her to hospice. They've called hospice in. So be in prayer for him and her family. And then other announcements, WANA sign-up sheets right out there in that foyer. There's a TV right out there, and underneath it, there's a place to sign up right by the kitchen door. There's a deacons meeting that was scheduled for today. We're postponing that for a week, so that'll be on the 16th. And then just congratulations to Brianna and Ryan on their marriage. Congratulations to Laura and for being sane still. That's great. So let's go to the Lord and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you today. We thank you that we have each other. that regardless of circumstances, we have a place to come and worship you, that we can, in this country, in the state and town, that we can come and worship you without fear. We thank you that you give us each other, all the people in this room, and thank you for reminding us that we're there for each other in times of weddings and in times of great happiness and in also times of great sadness. And we thank you that we have each other, but that you gave us your Son and that we have you, of which we're eternally grateful. Just go with us and guide us the rest of this day and this week, and let others see you and your love in us. In your Son's name, amen.